31. Company meeting.
Okay, we're all here, Jack. You've never had us all together like this before, and you sounded stressed. What's up?
Nick said after he made his way into the room and took a seat. He was right. I wasn't exactly in the greatest mood after finding out I was probably dealing with a nasty monster problem. Why couldn't they be ordering armor or daggers or something? Harold and Carol, the alchemists, Oak and Shot, the smithies, my bodyguard, Distressa, Hayden, the tailor, Cindy, the enchanter, and my friend and resident artificer, Nick, were all there. Everyone was sitting down except Dez, who had her usual too-cool-for-school wall lean going. As the original group and highest-level employees, I figured they'd be the most help. The new crew was there as well. First was John the farmer. Today was his first day running the greenhouse, and he was loving it. He'd already presented some ideas for extending it into an actual in-ground farm. I checked with Alfred, and it was allowed, as our property extended a fair distance beyond the current building to allow for plenty more expansion. Next up were Allie and Pete, my newest alchemists. They weren't an actual couple, like my empty nesters, but they still worked well as a team. I tracked down some buffing concoctions that I had them working on. I decided to game the system a bit and track down some recipes for them that had no higher version. After some experimenting, we confirmed that this meant only the doubling effect from the new alchemy sets could trigger. After that were the new smithies, Ungart and Oscar. They were also the only dwarves in the company so far. Apparently, they went into the game wanting to play dwarven smiths, but intentionally chose to start in the human realm in the hopes of having a leg up on the competition. Needless to say, they were pissed when they found out about the human iron shortage. They sacrificed the chance to get training with dwarven master smiths and ended up out of work until they saw my ads. After seeing Oak and Shot working, they felt like they had something to prove. Finally, there was Lily. She was our sole leather worker. Well, technically, she was a tailor. She picked up enough of the required skills to pick up the job while working leather. I made a mental note to work on getting it myself. It just took sewing and one or two other skills to unlock it. It boosted leather working, too, so that would be helpful. It was more people in a room than I'd expected. Counting me, the NPC runners, and Zen, there were 19 of us all together in the meeting. I was getting a tad nervous about addressing everyone. Thanks for coming, folks. I've brought you here because I need your help, I said, deciding to get right to the point. I am meeting with the Thieves Guild on behalf of our business partner, Rowan Vaughn. He's told me that it's likely going to involve a monster, and I have a feeling it will be something powerful. That's why for the next 48 hours, I'm shifting our production to preparing for this. Before anyone gets worried about lost income, I will pay out of pocket for everything, so no one is losing out on income. We owe a lot of what we are now to Rowan, and I don't want to let him down. I'm going to need potions, elixirs, ammo, consumables like flash grenades, and anything else we can think of. It may sound like I'm going overboard, but if I'm being honest, I suck at fighting, and I'm going to do this alone, so I have to even the odds. I gave everyone a moment to process all I'd said before continuing. Also, Zen and I need weapons. I need a better longsword and a new parrying dagger. Zen needs gear appropriate for combat in multiple jobs, plus anything you guys can think of that will help.
What am I supposed to be making, boss? Dez asked rather sarcastically.
You're making me a real fighter. I want the crafting done today, but tomorrow, you and I will train. I want to boost my combat skills. Everyone following? I looked around and was greeted by nods of understanding. Everyone seemed to be on board, except, surprisingly, Nick. He looked like he wanted to say something. Something on your mind, Nick? I asked, knowing he'd be too shy to bring it up, whatever it was.
Yeah. Can we get some of those goggles, too?
With Rowan's help, we'd tracked down all the divination sand in the city and brought it in so I could make more goggles. By the time I was done, everyone in the company had a pair, and it was already showing in their work. Blacksmiths were enjoying my recently experienced ability in eliminating even the tiniest imperfections. alchemists were finding that previously used measurements of ingredients were slightly off, and that correcting them could improve formulas and yields. Tailors cut perfect lines and sewed pieces exactly where they needed to. The only one not benefiting directly in crafting was my enchanter, Cindy. Her boon was unexpected. Instead of making her better at enchanting items herself, she was able to better examine and understand existing enchantments. This new ability was to the point where she spent some of her own money buying new magical items and examining them in order to reverse engineer the enchantments and learn how to do them herself. After an hour or so of this, everyone had gained the actual perception skill. Turns out no one had it until the goggles pushed them to take in all these details. As the skill grew for them, they were able to push their craft even further. It was incredible. Suddenly, All Trades Inc. not only had the highest production capacity for these goods of any single group, but we also made higher quality products than what anyone else was selling. A few ideas had occurred to me at this point, but I decided to pursue them later. With a renewed passion for their respective crafts, my crew got to work on my requests. Alchemists made healing potions and elixirs, while the smithies and tailors started working on Zen's gear. After some internal debate, I let the smithies know I'd handle my own weapons. I needed an excuse to fire up the forge. After notifying them of my plans, I switched to my blacksmith job and headed to my area. First, I drew up some plans for what I wanted based on my experiences and some research online about historical weapons. After looking around, I had two things I wanted to make: a better balanced longsword more suited to my style of fighting, and a parrying dagger that incorporated some gnomish know-how. The longsword, well, technically an arming sword, was easy enough. I made the whole thing with high-grade steel we'd normally use for the big orders for Rowan. First change was to not include a ricasso, which is apparently the term for the unsharpened portion of the blade. I would never grab the blade and thrust two-handed, so that was a useless feature for me. It's hard to grab the blade in your offhand when it's already holding a dagger. The length of the weapon was slightly shorter than what I'd been using before, but not so short that it was considered a short sword. Simply shortening the blade did much to improve balance, but I added a little weight to the pommel to allow for more fluid movement once the blade was balanced. I also slightly extended the cruciform hilt of the weapon so that it was more effective in trapping weapons, or protecting my hand if I blocked with the sword. Once it was finished being shaped, cooled, and polished, I removed the scales from a strip of black dragon hide and used it to wrap the handle. The scabbard was wood with another black dragon leather wrap and steel accents at the tip of the scabbard and where it met the hilt. It all perfectly exemplified beauty in simplicity. Cindy, however, wanted to disrupt that simplicity slightly. She had some ideas for enchanting it and wanted me to drop it off when I was done. It was fine with me because I needed to let Nick know I was ready for us to make my parrying dagger. The design I'd come up with was basically a triple dagger. Historically, the triple dagger almost always appeared as a single blade parrying dagger, but a switch hidden by the handguard that ran from hilt to pommel activated a spring mechanism that opened up the middle blade and deployed additional blades out to either side of the main. They could easily catch weapons this way. "Here's the pieces I need you to forge," Nick said as I entered his workshop. "Once that's done, bring them back and we will piece them together," he finished before shooing me out of his shop once more. Any other time, and he was incredibly shy and a classic type B personality, but once he was in that shop, he became a whole other person. Seeing the confidence and need to be in control of the environment made me feel a little proud of him. I looked over the plans and saw he'd laid out the design of the spring release, second and third blades, and the trigger and reset mechanism, but left the design of the main blade handle and handguard to me. I decided to take care of the stuff Nick needed first, which took a surprisingly long couple of hours. It would have been exponentially easier if these could have been machined into shape, but instead I was having to cut by hand over and over until I got it perfectly to his specifications. Once the pieces were finished, I insisted that Nick come out to work on it in the forge with me, so he grabbed some tools and reluctantly followed. from the expression on his face, his figurative shell I'd been wanting him to get out of turned into a literal shell in the form of a locked workshop. When we got to the forge and I showed him all the pieces laid out and compared to his specs, he looked them over and said,
"Not bad, Jack. These goggles make a huge difference, don't they?"
"They do," I replied. "Once this Thieves Guild business is finished, I'd like for us all to get together and come up with more ideas for ways to improve our crafting abilities like this."
"Wait, you want us to work on it as a group?"
he said. He was obviously shaken up by this idea, and I could see his hands shaking slightly. His breathing was starting to speed up some, too. "Oh, no," I thought. "He's about to have a panic attack."
"Nick, it's okay. Take a second to breathe, buddy," I said, as I knelt down to get at eye level with his gnomish frame.
I was trying to be comforting, but worried it had come across as demeaning. "If you would prefer, we can set it up so you don't have to talk to anyone directly. Or I can assign you a team of NPCs. You seem to do better with them. Is that okay?"
He was staring at the ground off to the side like it was miles away, and he couldn't quite focus on it.
He nodded and wiped the beginnings of a tear from one eye and said,
"That would be way better. Thanks, Jack."
"No problem," I said. "Can I ask you something? You don't have to respond if it's too personal or I cross a line. It's severe social anxiety, isn't it?" A look of shame flashed across his face before he nodded again and said,
"Very severe. I can't talk to more than one or two people at a time, or else it's like my brain catches on fire and starts trying to put itself out by screaming at the flames. When we had that meeting, I was able to avoid freaking out because I could focus completely on you and pretend everyone else wasn't there. Honestly, when I first approached you in Gnome Theron, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. The time spent talking to NPCs helped, though. As real as they are, some part of my brain is able to acknowledge that it's a similar experience to talking to real people, but that there's nothing to be afraid of. It's like my anxiety decided it doesn't count for some reason."
His breathing had finally slowed to normal and he wasn't shaking, but he suddenly flushed bright red.
"I info dumped. Sorry about that."
I gave him a comforting smile.
"No worries, man. You just let me know what you need and what you need to avoid.
To be frank, I hoped to drag you out of your shell thinking you were just really shy. Now I see it's an anxiety issue, so we will do this at your pace, okay?"
"Thanks again, Jack, for everything."
He let out a relaxed sigh before looking at the table.
"Now, let's make you a trick dagger."
There were initial problems with pieces grinding together and the tightness of the mechanisms causing the release and reset functions to occasionally just not work. Nick and I spent a couple of hours assembling, testing, measuring, disassembling, and adjusting until we had it just right. When it was done, I looked down at what we'd made together. When it wasn't activated, it was a single blade dagger measuring nearly 20 inches, which almost put it into the game's short sword category. Thankfully, it came in just under. It was polished and finished to look just like my arming sword I'd made earlier, with the exception of the handguard now being present. It protected me if a block or parry went wrong and allowed me to punch someone in the face if need be. If one activated the switch on the handle, two more blades popped out, fanning out away from the center blade. One could trap a weapon in the notch between blades if needed. I couldn't wait to try it out on someone other than Destreza.
"Looks good, Nick,"
I told him when we were done.
"Thank you for the help. Now get back in your workshop and decompress. I know this has been hard."
He looked almost ashamed again, until he realized it was a tone of compassion and understanding.
"Thanks, Jack. Maybe I can come back out and help you some more once I recharge."
"Take your time," I said. "I have plenty to do today."